Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's another game day in this extended run of only one day off between games. And the Sabres have been amassing the victories. Marty Baron, good afternoon. Four straight wins, 4-0-1 in their last five. Second and final meeting this year with the Jets coming up tonight.
Oh, and the Jets are a good team now that they're healthy and they have got a lot of pieces in place, although they've had some tougher times of late. I mean, they lost at Montreal. Yeah. They lost at Nashville. Things happen. You're a good team. Yep. You're going to lose some games too. It's no problem. But they are for me, this is going to be an interesting matchup, right? Because I feel like the Jets top six is about as good as any other top six in the NHL. And we saw some really good players with Tarasenko and Kyrou and St. Louis. And we saw, you know, Robertson and Pavelski and Seguin and those guys in Dallas. Ince, Rope Ince, thank you very much, in Dallas. So I think this is just another step in the evolution. Like, okay, let's push it another step further. Let's see how the Sabres can respond against a top six the way the Jets have it. And a goaltender that really stole the show when the Jets were in Buffalo last time, in Connor Hellebuck. So
yes.
How can you now solve that and respond to that? This is a perfect Thursday night for me, challenge in front of the Sabres in the third game of this road trip.
Yeah, it ends on Saturday in Minnesota, but as Don Granato keeps stressing, there's only the immediate future to focus on. I loved their game against the Jets. It just turned into a tough week where they lost three in a row at home before flipping things around. But you're right, Connor Hellebuck was excellent in that game. I know you're deep down believing that Luukkonen will play tonight. I suppose that's the only question, big question, that remains as we get set for tonight. Obviously, the Sabres will have their morning skate here coming up, which will be at the midway point of our show. So I don't know how or if we'll have anything definitive, but I know it would surprise you greatly if it was someone other than Luukkonen that was in goal for Buffalo tonight. What is it about Hellebuck that has him back on the right path overall? And while it's a daunting task to suggest that, he can get himself into the Vezina discussion based on how good Allmark and Sorokin have been this year, he's got to be pretty close to being at least a finalist for the award, right?
Yeah, I've got him number two, right? And I mean, Allmark is number one, and Sorokin actually is out of my top three because I have Ottinger in there, and it's a personal bias against Sorokin. Like I watch Allmark this year.
I thought
year.
You loved him.
I do love him, but I love Ottinger more.
Ottinger just needs to stop playing after 60 minutes because the Stars lost for a ninth time last night and second consecutive on home ice beyond regulation. Amazing. But anyway, I digress.
But it's 2-2 game and the 2-2 game and 2-2 games, and he's playing unbelievable. And Sorokin has been great. And maybe it's just a personal preference. I like Ottinger over Sorokin. Some people would have Sorokin 3 and Ottinger 4 or whatever. And UC Saros is around there. But when we talk about Connor Hellebuck, last year everybody says, oh, his numbers weren't as good as they've been in the past. And, well, okay, maybe there's a team aspect to it because of, Paul Maurice leaving the team their locker room seemed to not be working in Winnipeg. But when you dive into his goal save above expectation and some of the other eye danger chances numbers and how he's fared against them, he was really good last year too. Mm-hmm. Top five in the league, right? And you're like, okay, well, maybe the standard numbers with the save percentage and goals against average wasn't as good as the previous year and winning the Vezina and everything that comes with it. Now he's putting this season, kind of season that every number looks good with Connor Hellebuck, is Reed. For all goaltenders that are watching or fans that love goalies, right, that are going to watch Connor Hellebuck, he is not like Vasilevsky. He's not like Shesterkin. He's not like Ullmark. He's not like any of them. He doesn't stretch in a full split and make those spectacular saves. Everything Connor Hellebuck does is compact. It's almost like, and I said that to a lot of people, they tell me, Marty, you must have been so flexible being a goalie. And I was about as stiff as a big metal pole, right? Like, I mean, you couldn't bend my body like Dominic Hasek was, but I was compact and everything for me was, my butterfly wasn't flared out. It was all about body in the right lane in the right way. Connor Hellebuck does that to another level, right? At an all-star level. So that's why, like, when he's dominant, sometimes people are going to say, well, was Connor Hellebuck that dominant? Because he doesn't look spectacular, but he's a fantastic goalie.
And he also gave you your favorite goal against him this year when Clayton Keller walked around with almost little reaction from Hellebuck.
Yes, he came out to play kind of like Reggie Lemelin would have done it with the Boston Bruins back in 1987, or Ron Hextall. Maybe it's the wrong one. Ron Hextall.
He does have
playoffs.
Some Hextall mannerisms in size and bending over and stuff. 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Ron Hextall, go back and watch the 93 playoffs, Quebec Montreal, before Montreal ended up beating the Sabres. But while Brad May's having his moment in May Day, you watch in game six maybe. Back in Montreal or whatnot, the amount of time a Montreal Canadiens walked around Ron Hextall and just shot in an empty net. And so Clayton Keller did that basically to Connor Hellebuck, walked around him. And who was it that was laying down? Duffer?
Adam Lowry.
Lowry was laying down doing his best Dominic Hasek impersonation on his back flopping. But anyway, we've digressed. Yes, Connor Hellebuck sometimes can look like, wow, you're not even trying. But that's what is the beauty of his game, is he looks like he's not even trying and making all these saves.
Few and far between, obviously. Hellebuck's been great. Luukkonen has been terrific. Mid-December on, he's got 10 wins. Only Phoenix Copley has more wins in that stretch across the league. So we'll see if Luukkonen does, in fact, get the call again tonight for Buffalo against Winnipeg. As mentioned, the Sabres have won 4 in a row. But bigger picture, it's just how good they have been on the road. 11-2-1 in their last 14. 2 more to go on this trip. You're talking about a couple of teams that are right there at the top in shooting percentage this year. The Sabres are second only to Seattle. And Winnipeg is 6th in the league in that regard. So, you know, they have some similarities here. And I think that's why we saw such a good game between the two the last time they met in Buffalo. But I would say this, Buffalo was carried last game in their latest victory against St. Louis by all their top players once again. And I think the beauty is they're winning. So it's less of a concern, but you can never ignore the fact that there are still more guys that need to contribute here. And you've got at least half the forwards right now who, you know, because these games have just come and gone so quickly, your little scoring droughts can add up real quick too, right? So I'm curious to see what kind of push Buffalo can get from their so-called bottom six here tonight. That to me is one of my focal points on this matchup.
It's a very good focal point, because if your top lines play well, they're going to cancel each other out, right? With the Winnipeg's top line. And then how do you, exactly to your point, we talk about Adam Lowry, but how do the Sabres match up against a bottom six with Winnipeg with Axel Jonsson Fjällby, as we know him, former Sabres, for a very short amount of time. I don't even think he made it to Buffalo, to be honest with you. Maybe he had a practice and that's it. But he's played really well for the Winnipeg Jets. And he's had an impact. And he scored a goal just last week. So, the bottom six needs to find a groove here. But with the Sabres, who's your bottom six? We know Peyton Krebs Gergensen and Oposo are, you know, in the bottom six. But on any given nights, it could be Jost with Olofsson and Mittelstadt, or Cousins with Quinn and Paterka. We don't know, right? It flops back and forth. So how about we get a top nine that really has that impact of playing like three top lines against the Winnipeg Jets tonight?
Yeah, I think we'll dive into that a little bit further. It's a birthday for one of those names that you just mentioned, and we are still kind of riding that beautiful wave of Ryan Miller night here in Buffalo, and there's an opportunity to still get involved and bid on the jerseys worn during Miller night warm-up, or a game, pardon me. Each jersey includes a special jersey patch honoring Miller's banner night. The auction closes on January 29th at 9 p.m. And as you know, proceeds benefit the Buffalo Sabres Foundation. So you can place your bid at sabres.com/auction. Of course, we are rapidly approaching the trade deadline, which is March the 3rd. Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN, has joined us here on Sabres Live on this game night for Buffalo. And Dregs, welcome in, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm not going to complain at all, because Lord knows that you guys have had to deal with enough snowfall over this season. Far, far, far more serious than what I dealt with this morning. We got about a foot of snow yesterday, which for this part of Ontario is, that's a lot, right? So I get the trusty snowblower fired up first thing this morning, and that's always that kind of gray area, right? It's like mowing your grass in the summer. When is too early to start the small engine? So I'm like, all right, it's 8 o'clock. My wife's got to get to work. Everybody else is shoveling and doing. Fire up the snowblower. Away I go. I get maybe 10 minutes in and it dies. Stops working. Yeah, just a brand new snowblower. So obviously you check the gas. Now there's lots of gas. The fuel shutoff is on. Oil is good, all of that. I don't know. So small world that it is. So many good people, as you guys know, again, based on your own personal experiences there. You probably don't know him. Ryan Winterton plays for the London Knights in the Ontario League. He's a draft pick of the Seattle Kraken, right? His mom and dad live like three houses down from me, right across the street. So I go knocking on their door this morning and said, hey, by the way, Garth, I need your snowblower. So that's why my face is red. I feel like I got a sunburn. Like I literally just spent like 3.5-4 hours cleaning my driveway and the neighbor's driveway with the Winterton snowblower.
How's Here's that? The difference between cutting your grass at 8 a.m. and the snowblower at 8 a.m. is you may need the snowblower to actually get out of your driveway. Tell me one person that can't get out of their driveway because the grass is not cut, right? Like, I will give you that. Yeah. And usually the grass is like Saturday morning or Sunday morning at 7:30. That's your neighbor goes, and I'm like, dude, like, I just said, fun last night and I want to sleep in. Like a Thursday morning is everybody's up and ready to go to work. So you're fine.
I got it. Well, I appreciate that, Marty. So anyway, I'm not complaining. It's, you know, just part of the trials and tribulations, right? It's
life. Absolutely. We obviously, thanks in part to you and your colleagues across the NHL reporting on such pending stories, are focused on Timo Meier. We're getting reaction at Sabres Live on Twitter today about, you know, what people think about an idea, a rumor of Timo Meier in Buffalo at some point. What is the latest that you know of on Meier? What the Sharks are thinking through all of this? And honestly, how many suitors could there possibly be right now for Timo Meier? Yeah.
I mean, it's such a challenging deal to make, right? Number one, you've got to give up the assets. He's a very good player, as we know. But the complication comes in the management of the salary cap moving forward, a really big qualifying offer. So you can manipulate around that, right? With a contract extension, you can bring that qualifying offer down. So that's not your annual average salary. But he's a talented player. It's going to take some doing, I would think, with the agent Claude Lemieux to figure out who the suitors are as opposed to the tire kickers. And you find out in a hurry, you know, based on having those extension type of conversations. But look, when you investigated from Mike Greer's perspective in San Jose, it's also very curious to me. You know, it's, you know, the Sharks, I don't think, can afford to just completely empty the cupboard here. You know, they made what I would call kind of a minor deal with Colorado Avalanche in sending Nieto and Ryan Merkley to the Avs. So that's not really going to move the needle for the San Jose Sharks, but Carlson is out there again, another complicated transaction. So anything is possible given the talent level of Timo Meier. I don't doubt for a second that Kevin Adams has made calls. Why wouldn't you? I mean, again, he's a special type of player. I just, when you're giving up the assets that it takes to acquire, and then you've got to figure out the complexity of extending him to make it affordable within your system, I think that's where it gets challenging.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the $10 million qualifying offer for Timo Meier. And also, he signed prior to the changes. So, yes, his last year's salary, which is a $6 million cap figure, but he's making 10. So his qualifying offer is $10 million now. It has changed the formula for QOs after 2021, I believe. But
right.
I'm not worried about that because I would have to assume that anybody that makes a deal for Timo Meier is going to talk to him and his agent and have the long-term deal locked in. Like, Timo Meier can't be just a rental player, can he?
I don't think so, Marty. And again, that's why it makes it problematic too, right? I mean, there are teams that have interest in rentals. I don't see Buffalo as being that team. Because look, you know, what are you going to have to give up for a player again of this magnitude? I mean, he's not the same type of player as Ryan O'Reilly or Bo Horvat, and those guys are pending unrestricted free agents. So it's also different. But when you look at the asking price of a player like that, it always, always kind of swirls around a first round pick and a prospect. Maybe that first round draft pick is shifted a little bit depending on how good the prospect is coming back. It feels to me like, again, if we're zeroing in on Buffalo here, they're in a real good place. Yeah, you can look at the long-term fit of Meier and how he can complement what you already have in that Sabres lineup. But, you know, is it worth, or are you sure that he is going to be the right fit based on what the return is, what you have to give? And who is that prospect? I mean, we can go through a number of teams that I'm sure are interested. Carolina is among them. You know, you can look at the Carolina Hurricanes and what they've gone through most recently with Pacioretty. You know that Donnie Waddell is going to add, but it's not that simple. It's not just the dollars. It's actually looking into your collection of futures and making that determination that this really good prospect is worth what you're going to have to give up to acquire Meier.
Do you have the dollar in mind, either of you, actually, as to what Meier's extension would look like? Wherever he lands, I'm assuming it'll come down underneath that 10 qualifying offer. Yeah. What do we think is the right number for Meier moving forward? Because quite honestly, I'm not worried about Buffalo having, if they were in on it, I wouldn't worry about the assets that they would give up. I think they've stocked the cupboard well. My concern would be structuring all the contracts moving forward with their current talent, i.e. Thompson, Cousins, Dahlin, Power, all the rest, and where Meier. But like, where do you see Meier? What number for him?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be careful because in fairness, I haven't had that conversation with the agent. So I don't want to, you know, throw out a number that is going to be too high or too low. It feels like it's got to be at least in the eights, doesn't it? You know, again, for as productive a player as Timo Meier is, and that might be low. It might be low. Then it gets complicated into, okay, well, what is the term here, right? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going the max length? The one thing that I'm starting to learn about here, fellas, is there is a belief that the salary cap is going to climb, and it's going to climb considerably in the not too distant future. So it's likely not going to go above $3 million next year. It might be less than that. I mean, the commissioner has made it clear that it's going to be less than that unless the Players Association makes that presentation, which I expect they will, and it gets bumped to $3 million, and then it jumps the year following. So the managers that I'm talking to, certainly the agents that I'm talking to, are looking at that when they're forecasting 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So, you know, an $8.5 million cap hit for Timo Meier based on productivity, might be an okay number when you're looking at year three, year four of that deal.
Yeah, I think 8.5 is where he's in a point of a game player right now. So 82, 83 points maybe this year if he plays all 82 games. I think it gets to be about 8.5. But we got a Sabres fan here on Twitter. Jay Brillin, Sabres fan, says, I want him bad. Get it done. First and Roseanne. So, I mean, that's like, but I also have other people that are saying, I'm very wary of the big moves, right? So, yeah. Is this a year too early for the Sabres to make that type of move, knowing that it would also be for the long term if they are, in fact, really in on it?
Yeah, and that's the reason I don't think it's a year too early. You know, I mean, Ottawa and Buffalo are in different stages and in different places, but I can tell you that there are a number of Ottawa Senators players who looked back at last year and said, geez, you know, we didn't jump early enough, right? And so Pierre Dorion goes into the offseason last year and he acquires all of these very good forwards, right? There's no question Ottawa Senators are better. He didn't land the defenseman as he promised everybody he would. And lo and behold, you're looking at the Ottawa Senators and they're out of the playoff picture again. You can't be sure, but when players like this, like Meyer, are available and you feel, to Duffer's point, that you have the assets to make this deal happen, I don't really think it matters. I think you know, if there's a fit and you can stomach the extension, which as we've talked about, you know, for what you should get in return production wise, then I'd make the fit because somebody else is going to benefit if you wait and you assume that there's another player that's coming down the road that might even be a better fit for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. That's always a great way to look at it too. And there's so many layers, but yeah, Marty, do you think there would be any concern? Like Kevin has been so consistent in his talking about, you know, the group and building and not disrupting. And Darren, you kind of mentioned like, you know, the fit, like, I think Meyer pretty easy to fit everywhere, but that doesn't guarantee Marty's success, right? When you come in, like you obviously have to bump somebody from this consistent top nine that we've been seeing.
Yeah. And I almost see it kind of like the Buffalo Bills. And because Kevin Adams has talked about being close to Brendan Beane and now the Bills build their team, they had their foundation. And then they said, we need a wide receiver one. We need Stephon Diggs, right? We need to go get that. Not that Timo Meyer's that guy, but when the door is open, you need to make the move. And I think Kevin is going to look at it. Now, there's other players that are being rumored, like Ryan O'Reilly and Max Domi. And Dregs, you can touch on those two, but that's not what Kevin is looking at. He's looking at something that is going to work with the core for longer term. But where is O'Reilly and Domi, and where are they at right now with the Blues and the Blackhawks possibly moving those two?
Well, look, I mean, Max Domi is an interesting piece because, you know, he's affordable and he's having a very good year with the Chicago Blackhawks. So any team that is looking for a short-term ad, somebody who can spice up their top nine, I think a lot of them would take a hard look at Max. And who knows? I mean, maybe he goes back to the Chicago Blackhawks next season. So I honestly don't think Kyle Davidson is going to have trouble finding a home for Max Domi. You know, as you get close to March 3rd, fellas, we know this. You know, everybody is shooting for the moon because you're looking for a primary piece. But then you get closer to the deadline and the prices aren't falling as much as you would like. You don't want to be left without that addition, especially if you have a need up front. So I still feel like the market is a little bit stalled and will stay that way until after the All-Star. But I do know as well that the St. Louis Blues, which is curious to me, I mean, you look at Ryan O'Reilly and Tarasenko, and we know they're on expiring deals. Ryan O'Reilly is at least a month away. He's going to take some time, but the interest in him has picked up a little bit, and Doug Armstrong is willing to listen to that interest. You have to gauge what the market is going to pay out, and I don't doubt that Armstrong is going to circle back with Newport Sports and say, okay, well, what does a contract extension look like here too? He's such a high character individual. You know, he keeps the environment competitive. I believe there's a stronger chance that he gets traded. So, you know, Colorado made that mini move with the San Jose Sharks. feels to me like they need a second line center. I'm looking at Seattle. There's lots of rumors around the Seattle Kraken and what they might do. What about Bo Horvat and the Vancouver Canucks? Is that ultimately going to come to be? So there's lots of interesting names in play.
I'm sorry. Did you forget Chychrun?
Yeah, I did purposely and respectfully, of course. It's just, I just don't know that anybody finally is going to say, all right, we're going to pay the price. And it's pretty clear, isn't it, to all of us that Billy Armstrong and the Arizona Coyotes know what they've got, and they know that that's a really good defenseman under contract. So that contract isn't going to get more ugly as you go into the offseason. So maybe a team like Edmonton that, you know, should be trying to acquire a piece like that doesn't. They get into the offseason. Maybe they don't do as well in the playoffs. And, you know, the desperation meter goes up another notch. So that's why he's more of a back burner at this point.
All right. We shall see. Dregs, thanks so much.
Somebody said on Twitter, check the spark plug, Dregs, for your snowblower. So I just want you to know our Twitter followers are helping you with your snowblower.
Yeah. There or call Plowmaster 43 next time.
When I was trying to start it, man, there was spark because there was smoke coming out. So I'm not sure. It's a spark
plug. That's not
good. Yeah, I like that. That's good foreshadowing to the trade deadline, I think. All right, Dregs, we'll see you soon next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Aaron Dreger from TSN. We are back with more on this Sabres game night, Buffalo and the Jets tonight, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We continue the show with a happy birthday shout out to Peyton Krebs, who finds himself back in the city where he starred in junior, and he is 22 today. Of course, he's not the most famous hockey player to be born on this day. Happy birthday, Wayne Gretzky, 62 on this day. But for our focus, we'll keep it on Peyton here and his big opportunity to continue making more of an impact. And I think, Marty, you know, he may be less so than some of the others, but he's part of the group that we were talking about right off the top today, as far as, you know, what more can you get out of Krebs, Gergensen's, Olofsson right now? What more can you get from Mittelstadt from a goal scoring standpoint? What more can you get from Jost, who has been really effective, but he's been kind of snake bitten. He hasn't scored in 7 games. These are the guys that I think against quality teams like Winnipeg can be big time difference makers. Now, so far on this trip, we've seen a little boost of offense from the defense, which helps offset this concern.
Absolutely. There has been, obviously, Owen Power with consecutive games with a goal. Dahlin with a big blast against Dallas, and that has helped. And that's how the secondary scoring started at the beginning of the season. You got Dahlin that helped, and it seemed like you were getting not so much goals other than Rasmus Dahlin, because on the defense, there's not been a lot of goals other than the big 26. But you were getting production and impact from the blue line, and then it dried up a little bit. So then it was Cousins, Quinn, Paterka. Then that dried up a little bit, and lately it's been Olofsson. So Krebs is one of those where he needs to continue to have an added impact to the game with Gergensen's and Oposo. That line is a very, very valuable line to the Sabres. Now, when I think of Peyton Krebs, I think of future. I think of, like, this year, yes, I love the fire that we see out of him. But I still think there's multiple more steps to his game that will be on display in the future. He's turning 22, right? So give it a couple of years when he's 24, and we're going to say he's still young at 24, and look at how he's able to do, right? So that's one thing. But now we talk about Timo Meier, and I'm like, oh, like, that's such an attractive piece, right? And who would be involved in a move that could bring Timo Meier over? Mm-hmm. And I know there's, you mentioned, the Sabres have done really well with their prospect and their draft pick, and they've stocked the cupboards. And so there is players, even going back to Matt Savoy. Right. So you got Lucas Rusek and Isaac Rosen and Matt Savoy, and you got a lot of prospects that you could part ways with, because you've got a group with Quinn Peterka and Krebs that I think is that next wave. Right. So you can part ways with some of your younger, less experienced prospect that were or still have a really, really strong big value. But there has to be, in my opinion, a roster player that would be involved in something like that, because you would need to make a spot open for top six. And I go back to Mittelstadt and Olofsson, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I don't want to do it, because Casey has shown steps forward in playmaking. Victor has been scoring. So is there cost certainty for San Jose to do it with one of those two players? Probably. Victor still has another year left. Mm-hmm. Casey's not going to be $8.5 million like Timo right. Meier would be. So maybe there is that opportunity as well. And then it just makes sense that it opens the door for Timo Meier to be a Sabres long-term. But again, it's still a dream, right? I'm still trying to piece it all up. No, it's not Tom Askey playing goalie.
I was going
to
say,
I expect Lukanen, but it's still a dream right now.
Yeah, but you'd be maybe wrong on expecting Lukanen, because my sources are telling me that Eric Comrie has what would typically be the starter's net at the morning skate, and that Anderson and Lukanen are sharing a net right now. So we might be seeing Eric Comrie's return to the crease as early as tonight.
Well, I've been wrong from the first trip of the season when the Sabres went out west in Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, and now they're in considered the west of Canada.
Central
with Winnipeg.
Canada. Central.
So, well, anything west of Ontario is in Canada is west. But
yeah, I'll tell that to the Blue Bombers, who've appeared in both the east and west divisions in the Canadian Football League. So
also tell that to Winnipeg, who played out east when they were first in the NHL after moving from Atlanta, and they hated it because they're like, we're not an east team. So anyway, it would just be par for the course for me and my goalie prediction this year if Eric Comrie went in. But I did say, they have to get Eric Comrie back in net at some point, right? He came back from a month and a half.
Is this called backtracking? What are you doing right now?
I am backtracking, and that's okay. But logically, like, let's be logical here, right? He missed almost 2 months.
You know what the show is? We never claim to bring logic to the table here. Well, our innate ability is to talk nonstop.
We can sometimes bring logic and try to put it together. And I look, 2 months off, 3 games in Rochester, 1 game in Buffalo, and then what? He hasn't played in 2.5 weeks. That was Seattle, right? So that's a long time ago, 2 weeks. Like, you got to get him back in there. And I understand Lukanen has won games and Anderson's won games and played well. But I also think that you've made a commitment to Eric Comrie. He got hurt. Not his fault. He got hurt. He actually battled through when he got hurt in Ottawa, and he's that type of guy. You got to get him back in net to see what you've got and how you're going to move forward after the All-Star break.
What do you mean he battled through in Ottawa?
He got hurt, and then he stayed on for like
long enough to give up a goal.
I know.
And then Anderson came in.
Yeah, he did battle through, though. He's that type of guy. Like, he's not going to cause a ruckus. He's going to work hard. It probably hasn't been easy for him the last couple of weeks, having to wait. Mm. And so you got to get him back in there. I wasn't expecting it to be tonight. If it is, some of your inside sources in Winnipeg watching the morning skate are saying, but that could be playing also on, hey, you played here in Winnipeg. Let's get you in there. Let's build the emotional boost that everybody's going to play hard for you and let's go. Like that may be what Don Granato is doing as well.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the obvious overriding reason?
Well, it can't be the only reason why you play people, right? Oh, you played for that team.
No, but
you're
playing
tonight.
If you knew that there was only one, if there was only one window in all of this for a guy who still hasn't played a lot of NHL games, you have to assume that that was part of the thinking here.
Oh, yes. I have to assume that is part of the thinking. It's remind me of when Jordan Leopold got traded back to Minnesota because this kid wrote a letter wanting his dad to come home. Actually, my son Jacob years ago wrote a letter to Torts wanting me to play here in Buffalo against the Sabres because he was going to be at the game. And because of a little bit of a snowstorm, the family did not travel to Buffalo. So after the game, Torts was like, "Where's Jacob? I thought he'd be in the room." Sorry, Torts. They never made it. Because so what? I started you because I felt bad and they never made it. I'm like, we won, didn't we? Like, everybody's happy about it.
Let's be realistic now about this.
Okay.
How nervous will Eric Comrie be if he gets this start based on how well things have been going for the team, how long it's been for him between wins? Because forget when he last played, the wins have been really hard to come by. And how does it actually affect the entirety of the group? Or is it just us talking? Like, does this kind of thing affect the skaters in any way?
So, funny enough, Duffer, I'm watching Breaking Point on Netflix, right? It's about the tennis players. And in episode two, they actually are talking about how they get nervous in games and they get negative thoughts and all of it. And I will think that as a former goaltender, Eric Comrie is going to be extremely anxious, butterfly-y, nervous to a certain extent playing tonight against the Winnipeg Jets for multiple reasons, but mostly because the team's done well. And it's been a long time since Eric Comrie's had a win in the NHL right now, you know, before his injury and before the 8-game losing streak and all of that. But I'll use my personal experience to kind of give a little snapshot as to how nervousness can work in two different ways, in winning streak and in losing streak. So we start the 06-07 season, right? We started the year 10-0-1. Millsy played like 4 games. I played 1. And then Millsy played another 4 games. And we're in game 9. I remember being on the road. And Lindy says, "Marty, you're going tomorrow night." And I'm like paralyzed. Like, I don't want to be the guy that is going to stop this winning streak. But I also want to play. So I'm trying to control this nervous energy that's on me. And we played and I won. We won. I should say the team won. And I remember going on the bus after the game and Lindy's the first seat coming on the bus, right? And I looked over to Lindy and I said, "I have to tell you, this was probably one of the most nervous games that I started in a very long time." And he goes, "Why?" I mean, we're rolling. We're 8-0 and now we're 9-0 or whatnot. And I said, "Because I didn't want to be the guy to lose that one game that would stop the streak." And I felt like it was a lot of pressure that is not usually the pressure that I faced growing up, because the pressure that you face growing up is a tournament game or a playoff game, and that's a big game, or you face a lot of shots, or everybody's 6, you're playing with 10 players or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the pressure of we were winning and I wanted to keep it going was different. This, for Eric Comrie, is the same thing. Oh my gosh, we're 3 goalies. Oh my gosh, Anderson played well. Oh my gosh, Lukanen's playing well. We're a point away from the playoffs, or 3 points away from the playoffs, whatever, right? And I'm the one that's going to start. I want it. I want to play. But it's nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, the 12-13 season, that was stopped by the lockout. Yeah. I think I played 6 games that year. 48-game season, right? I played 6 or 7 games. In the last month, Torts would come to me and say, I'm going to play you this week. I'm telling you, I'm going to play you this week. I'll see how it goes. And then I didn't play because we lost the game. And then he put Hank back in the next night. Then the second week, "I'm going to play you this week." And then the third week, he's like, "I'm going to play you." I almost wanted to say, don't, because at this point, I don't want to now. Like, it was weird. I've never felt that way. Well, also, I was 6 months away from retiring. So maybe that's the thing.
So I'm not sure. It was a beautiful answer about Comrie and nerves in your story. I'm not sure if you answered the skater standpoint. Does it affect the skaters who have consistently been the same 18 skaters here for a while?
Yes, I think it does. In the first 5 minutes, especially, because all we hear about the players after games is, oh, Luukkonen is on a roll. He's, and I watch Luukkonen play and I'm like, okay, like there's games where he's played really, really well. And there's games where he's only been average, but the feeling in the locker room is Luukkonen is playing so well. Like we have so much confidence in him.
But this week we've seen both. So does that alleviate the fact that they haven't been just riding one guy here?
No, because I think they know what they've got in Craig Anderson, and he definitely saved their bacon in Dallas in the first period. But even after that game, I didn't hear the players speak in the same tone as they do with UPL, right? I after St. Louis, Tage Thompson, OP's been like just so good, and we have so much confidence that we know we're going to win, and he's been like, so even though, yes, Anderson and Luukkonen have played well in one, for me, it's more the focus on Luukkonen and how the feeling is. He's their guy. And Comrie's just trying to get back in there, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. So if Eric looks good in the first 5 to 10 minutes, everybody's going to start playing their way, and it's not going to matter. But if there's some shakiness there, it's going to affect the rest of the team, yes.
Well, they have been able to dodge tough stretches at starts of games and ends to games here already on this road trip. We'll see if they get the full 60 tonight from everyone involved, which might well be Eric Comrie in goal. We'll give you an Amherst recap and look ahead for what's going on in Rochester, plus this or that. It's all next on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Amherst did it the hard way last night, falling behind 2-0 to visiting Wilkes-Barre at Blue Cross Arena in Rochester before goals from the blue line, Lawrence Pilot, Jeremy Davies, and then newcomer to the scene, Vinny Hinostroza, were able to claw them out of the deficit, which started on an Alex Nylander goal, by the way. Malcolm Subban was good in the win, especially after the club fell behind 2-0. He was excellent. That's a great goal from Jeremy Davies there to get things tied. And then Marty, Vinny Hinostroza started the power play in the third period on his off wing, but after a few scramble plays, he ended up on his strong side and scored a laser from the right wing position. He actually played center last night, scored the game winning goal as the Amherst win, despite losing Brandon Biro on a bit of a high hit by former Sabre Drake Kajula. And Biro did not return in the third period. So we'll see what adjustments the Amherst are forced to make moving forward. But the point is, you got to focus on them moving forward, and I hope you can join them moving forward for their Hall of Fame night, which happens tomorrow. Val James, Jason Pominville get inducted into the Amherst Hall of Fame. Tickets available at amherst.com/HOF night, and that's all part of a huge weekend. Saturday is Pride Night, and the jerseys that they have already up for auction, absolutely magnificent. They have crushed it again this year with their themed jerseys. So Pride Night Saturday, Hall of Fame Night tomorrow. One word on Val James and Jason Pominville.
Worthy is the word I come up with when it comes to the Hall of Fame and what Val has done for hockey and inclusion and diversity, and what Jason Pominville was able to do as hard work and let everybody know that there's always hope. So yeah, worthy of Hall of Fame.
All right, it is time for This or That here on a Thursday game night. Sabres and Jets coming up tonight.
I'm excited. So,
we have afforded you ample time for This or That. I have to, I want to take personal responsibility for shortchanging you on this segment throughout the course of the season. But anyway, let us start with Myers hit on Beniers last night.
Yeah,
was it
Myers.
A bad play or was it dirty?
It was dirty. And look, it was uncalled for. Tyler Myers is a monster of a man, and Beniers is not really big. And he comes in, no puck anywhere near. Beniers is looking the other way, and it's a cross-check push. And what really caused Beniers to not return is the fall to the ice. I feel like he hit his head on the ice or maybe the shoulder in a bad way. So I'm saying that's a dirty play because that's a man that is much bigger, much stronger, taking advantage of a smaller player in a what did they say, was not eligible to be hit at that moment.
Yeah, well, it was definitely an unfortunate result on an otherwise outstanding night for Seattle. I'll tell you, we get a lot of things wrong, obviously. I mean,
always.
But I'm having a tough time with Spencer Martin in the Canucks goal.
Oh, I liked him last year, right? Oh. I was like, I like him. And then, Colin Delia doesn't look good either. And Tatsu Demko has not looked good this year. So there's something in the water in Vancouver. But man, I just want to say this. I think Seattle wins the Pacific this year. I think they go on to win the Pacific. I think with Vegas' trouble and LA, I think Seattle wins the Pacific.
I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining. I wouldn't rule out Edmonton from winning it, obviously. Yeah. I think
lost last night for the Oilers.
Yeah, that's just to get people reminded that you can't win every game. But, you know, the Oilers are a pretty good run. They have points in 9 of their last 10. So I think it's incredibly wide open. It's going to be awesome. Traded from the Blues first, O'Reilly or Tarasenko, this or that?
I'm going to say Tarasenko. First of all, O'Reilly's still injured, so he's not back. And the way Tarasenko played against the Sabres looks like a guy that wants to play hard for multiple reasons. He likes to score goals, but I think he wants out. And he's been kind of like a foot out the door for a couple of years now. So I think Tarasenko is the first one traded out of the Blues.
Seattle-Vancouver is already a great, I use that passionately, rivalry. Bruce, there it is. Thumbs up or thumbs down from the Kraken fans chanting it last night.
Thumbs up. I mean, I remember when the Rangers and the Washington Capitals played against each other and it was, we are louder. And like, it was just so, love the creativity from the Seattle fans with the Bruce, there it is chant.
Okay. Big stuff for the Sabres tonight. And stay tuned on our social channels for that throughout the day. We'll see you for pregame coverage this evening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.